For the past 35 or 40 years, I've lived and practiced in Annapolis, but I was actually born right here in Baltimore. In fact, I was born at University of Maryland Hospital, and two of my children were born there. And actually, later on, I went to medical school there and actually delivered babies right where I was born. But everybody from Baltimore also has to tell you where they went to high school, because that's how they're identified. So I graduated from Poly. But I started out life and not far from here, on Bond and Caroline Street down in the projects. And when I was about 4 years old, I was practicing for my future career in the circus and doing somersaults and busted open my chin. So my parents quickly put me in their Willis Jeep with a fake wood siding and drove me up Broadway. And that was my first view of Hopkins. And back then, there was more grass out here on Broadway and more grass in front of the hospital itself. In fact, there were sheep on the lawn. You may find some pictures of that. Well, they sewed me up, and that was my first encounter. Over the years, I've had patients who I've sent here and had to be involved in their work. I've had relatives and come here as patients and had to visit them. My father had a heart valve replaced here. I've actually sat out there in the audience with you for a pediatric trends conference, listening to about a week's worth of pediatric lectures. One time when I was chief resident over at the University of Maryland, I was with the chief of pediatrics, Marvin Kornbath, a really world-renowned physician. We had a resident who had to be admitted over here at Hopkins, and we had come over to visit. And there's a big rivalry, if you don't already know. We refer to this place from over there as the Easttown Medical Clinic. But we came over, and as we came in the door, we were greeted by Dr. Alex Haller, another world-famous physician, a thoracic pediatric thoracic surgeon, wonderful gentleman. And he greets us at the door and says, "Hi, Marvin, did you come here to worship?" Well, in 1995, my experience with Hopkins grew a little bit more serious. It began with an illness. I started to feel kind of bad. I had become very tired, had chronic diarrhea. I could not eat. My stomach was getting big, and I had turned slightly jaundiced, all of which are signs of something pretty serious with my liver. I went to my doctor. He sent me to the gastroenterologist. We had a couple tests. Thought I had pretty bad liver disease for some reason, and it came down to my alma mater to be admitted at University of Maryland for a week. I spent a week there with a lot of tests, getting a little bit sicker. And at the end of the week, they came to the conclusion that they weren't really sure what caused my liver failure, but I was probably a candidate for a liver transplant. My wife heard this, and she noted that Maryland hadn't done many liver transplants at that time, and she's from Pittsburgh. So we decided we're going to Pittsburgh, where they had perfected the procedure, and do 200 or 300 liver transplants a year. So off we went. So a week of being in Pittsburgh with my first liver biopsy and getting sicker and sicker over the time. And 1 week later, and this was on July 24th at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the physician came in and said, "Well, we think you probably have liver cancer. And there's really not much we can do, and you're certainly not a candidate for a liver transplant." Needless to say, that was a rather upsetting afternoon. That happened to be the anniversary of my first wife's death, exactly to about the hour, actually. I wasn't very happy at that point, but you have to realize, this is Pittsburgh. What can you expect where they have the Pittsburgh Steelers? So we came back. I got my appointment at Hopkins, and I got admitted to the John, where I was an inpatient for 7 weeks. And During that 7 weeks, I got sicker and sicker. Every day, every other day or so, they had to do an abdominal procedure, taking off fluid off of my belly so I could breathe. I had an open biopsy of my liver. I had closed biopsies of my liver. Lots of tests going on. But it was a long, long time. I could not move. I was pretty much bedridden. And at that time, one time, I had one more test to do. Oh, by the way, this is all while I'm trying to get qualified for a liver transplant. So I had a test that had to be done. They wanted an MRI on me or a CAT scan. I wasn't sure, one of many that I had. So they put me on the stretcher. And I wheel me down to the bowels of some of these buildings here through doors that say no entrance and be careful and don't do this. And if you've ever been to radiology, you know they're going to leave you outside the door somewhere. And I figure they'll never find me. I'm going to die down here. But I'm outside the MRI, and remember, I look like someone who had just been rescued from Auschwitz. And I hear, "Dr. Hoffman, please call the emergency room. Dr. Hoffman, please call the emergency room." I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, my patients do come here, and I am called. And I said, they want me up there to talk about a patient. They're going to wheel me up on this stretcher, and the patient's going to look at me, and they're just going to say, "I think we want a second opinion." But I made it back up to the floor. They did find me. I now made it to the top of the list for a liver transplant. We were literally waiting for that helicopter to fly in. But I had a hepatologist who was taking care of me, Dr. Anime Deal, who I just found out. She is head of gastroenterology down at Duke at this point in time. She was very persistent. She said, "We really don't know what's wrong with you. We think you're going to get the liver, but we don't have a diagnosis. And we want to do one more test. But the test is an arteriogram, and it may actually ruin your kidneys. You may go into kidney failure from this test. But we really need to know the answer before we go through this procedure." So I went to, "Fine, we'll go through the test." So we went down and had the procedure done under Versed. Versed's a wonderful drug, by the way, though it should be recreational. But I woke up from the test, and the radiologist was standing over my bed, and he said, "We found out what's wrong with you." He said, "You have a hole in a major artery, the mesenteric artery, one of the arteries that feeds your gut, and it goes into the portal vein, the major vein in your liver. And that's giving your liver high blood pressure, and that's why your liver is failing." This was probably as a result of that very same car accident that my wife died in, and I had surgery as well during that time. In the next breath, he said, "We can also cure you. We're going to take you to surgery. We're going to close the hole off, and you'll be fine." I went back to my room. 2 days later, that radiologist came in and said, "I've got better news for you. We are going to not operate. We're going to do a coil procedure. We're going to put you, do the same arteriogram we did." Again, we're going to get Versed too. That was good. And we will take care of you. So I did not get the liver transplant. And I'm here to thank Dr. Deal and all the other people at Hopkins who saved my life and actually allowed me to continue a career in pediatrics, which I probably wouldn't have been able to do if I had that liver transplant. So thank you, Hopkins.